Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight was a suburban housewife from Taylor who made the decision to live what she believes. Her decision led to near abandonment by her family and the mocking of her friends. Her mother hired an attorney and tried to take her five small children away from her. Her father-in-law wanted to disown her, and her brother-in-law asked her to use her maiden name so his family wouldn't be embarrassed. Her name is Eleanor Jositis, and her decision in 1967 was simple: to heal the pain that led to the Detroit riots by forming Focus Hope with Father Bill Cunningham. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now, back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Eleanor, thanks for coming.
It's my honor to be here.
It's 1967. You're living in the suburbs. We have the riots. And you tell your husband, Don, you want to move your family back to the city. Why?
Jack, because I was not going to ask anybody to do anything I wasn't going to do myself. And if I was going to talk about integration, if I was going to talk about building relationships between peoples of all races, then I had to live it myself. And it was one of the best decisions we've made. Raised all of our five children there, and 38 years later, I'm still there and loving every moment of it.
What did this Father Cunningham ask you? How did he convince you to even come with him to start Focus Hope?
You know, it was interesting because Father Cunningham was an English professor at Sacred Heart Seminary, and he was the weekend pastor at our parish in Taylor. And my husband and I became very good friends with him. Father was a wonderful, wonderful speaker. And we would always attend his masses and then ask him to come over to our house afterwards. And we just became very good friends. And Father had a little session where he was inviting married couples to come together and talk about what was going on in the church. And he asked Don and I to attend. And I made the mistake afterwards of saying, Father, great retreat, but did you ever think about doing A, B, C, D? And he said, that's great, Eleanor. Would you come and do A, B, C, D with me? So I started to organize all of his retreats. But he was a follower of Dr. King's, and so was I. And Jack, I can tell you to the exact moment when my life changed. When I was watching television one night and watching the Nuremberg trials on television, the program was interrupted by the March on Mississippi. And I sat there and watched as policemen were riding through, giving electric shocks with cattle prodders, turning dogs loose on the marchers. And I cried my eyes out, and I kept asking myself, what would I have done if I'd have lived in Nazi Germany during that time? Would I have pretended I didn't see anything? Would I have become involved? And then what am I doing about what's going on in my country? Changed me just like that. Became a strong supporter of Dr. King. And when the riots hit here in 1967, it was just a natural. What are we going to do? And Father and I walked the streets the day after the riots, and we said, we've got to do something. And from there, it's history.
A lot of people use a lot of words when they talk about you. Relentless, inspiring. One that comes up regularly is courageous. Where do you get the courage to dream, yet alone do these great things?
Well, I'm very grateful because I have a strong faith, and I also believe that God has a sense of humor, and when he wants you, he's going to shove you in the direction he wants you. But I have a passion. I have a passion. I want to make a difference in the world. I want to see that my grandkids grow up and appreciate somebody else who's of a different color or different nationality or different religious belief that they are. And it's not going to happen. We can't just have our head in the sand. We've got to figure out how we can build a world that we all want to live in. And that's my passion.
Could you talk a little bit about this priest, this
Father
charismatic
Cunningham.
Father Cunningham?
What a charismatic person he was. He was a visionary, and he hated that word when you called him a visionary. And I would say, okay, you're not a visionary. You are a risk taker. And he definitely was not afraid to take a risk. And he was not afraid to stand out and stand in somebody's face. And he was interesting. He always rode a motorcycle. But when he rode his motorcycle, he always had his collar, his Roman collar on. He always had French cuffs. And everybody knew that it was, oh, that wild priest, Father Cunningham. But he was a master of communication. He could take the most complicated issue and hone it down so everybody could understand what he was saying. That was his passion.
Success has 1,000 fathers, and failure is an orphan. When something gets successful, like Focus Hope has been, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon. But when the two of you started, nobody wanted to do anything. Nobody was going to give you free buildings, etc. How did you convince the first people to help you?
Just by constantly inviting them to see what it is we were doing. And one of the things we did, we went down and closed off Woodward Avenue, and we got some volunteers from the city and some volunteers from the suburbs and kept asking them. We put up big signs that said, "Let's get together." And it drew people's attention, and they wanted to know, what is this crazy organization about? And then the more they saw what we were doing, the more they wanted to come and be a part of it.
We're with Eleanor Jositis, the CEO and co-founder of Focus Hope. And this is News Talk 760 WJR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Eleanor, Focus Hope, what is it?
Focus Hope is a civil and human rights organization that has grown to have 515 full-time colleagues, 51,000 volunteers, a food program that provides food to 43,000 mothers, children, and seniors every month, and training programs. We have a machinist training institute, we have an information technology center, we have an engineering center, and we have a child care center that has 126 little people. And it's all on Oakland Boulevard. It's 40 acres and about 1 million square feet. But we, with the help of a lot of people, acquired Accela Corporation, Vickers, the Ford Industrial Engine Plant, Bilo Supermarket, Federal Engineering, and turned them all into state-of-the-art training programs. So this little organization that started after the riots with the Catholic priest and a suburban housewife has now been blessed with so many people that care and are there every single day to make a difference in the world. And we're doing a great job, and I would encourage anybody who has not been there to come and see the organization, because I guarantee you it will change your mind.
You have thousands of people from all over the world come to view this as a model of how they start. Your food center has been duplicated, the concept, in over 32 states.
Correct.
How did you guys get started?
Because hunger was a reality, and one of the things that the people in the city were saying, that they were being ripped off in the supermarkets. And we got 500 volunteers from the city and 500 volunteers from the suburbs and did a very sophisticated survey. We went into the chain stores, the mom and pops, the independent stores when no one knew we were coming. We would just go and take down all the prices. We borrowed the computers at Chrysler Corporation and found out that the folks in the city were paying 30 to 40% more for groceries, and that they were dumping the old meat and the old produce from the suburbs into the city. As a result of all of our data went on national television, 28 managers were fired for ripping off the folks. Now, the people in the suburbs were saying, I didn't know this was happening. And the people in the city said, we've been trying to tell you what's happening. They came together and said, Focus Hope, what do you want us to do next? Well, we were listening to the scientific community talk about babies losing their brain power if they didn't have food in the first 3 years of their life. Jack, do you know that an infant will lose 15% of its brain power, never to be regained again, if it does not have all the food that its body commands in the first 3 years? We thought it was intelligent and practical to start a food program, and we designed it for a pregnant woman, a nursing mother, and children up to the age of 6, because if the family was still in need, the little one could get the school lunch or the school breakfast program. And it became a very strong program. But we fought to have nutritional programs. We worked with the Department of Agriculture to see that the food that was being purchased by the Department of Agriculture for the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, and that was the name of it, was good, strong, nutritional food. And the program just kept growing and growing. And I tell a story about a senior citizen who really told me off one day because she called whispering into the phone and asking me, she said, I understand you have food. And I went running my big mouth about this fabulous program for pregnant women, nursing mothers, and children. And there was a long pause. She screamed into the phone at me and she said, I'm 72 years old and you want me to get pregnant before you'll help me. And she told me off like only your grandmother can tell you off. Now here's what the lesson I learned. I heard every single word the woman said to me. I did not hear her fear. She was living on $308 a month in a neighborhood that was totally disintegrated. She had no family. She didn't care what we were doing. She wanted somebody to help her. Here we go again with another program. Let's start and add seniors to our food program. So it's just been an evolution.
Through the years, you've given out over 17.5 million pounds of food.
Correct.
Also, with the mechanical training program and now IT, you've had over 3,000 graduates. Each one of them has gotten a job.
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about the training programs?
You know, we saw when industry started moving out, we began to ask ourselves, what can we do? What training is needed? And we hired two researchers to tell us where the future was and what the needs of the 21st century were going to be. And they came back and told us that it was going to be machining and manufacturing. There was going to be a real skill shortage. So we interviewed hundreds and hundreds of owners of companies, and only two had ever hired a minority or a woman, but they were all saying, I'm not doing any training because I invest this money in training. My competitor comes along, 50 cents more an hour, they go out the door and I've wasted the money, or I've never hired a minority or a woman. Go ahead and train, Focus Hope. We knew we had a guaranteed market, so we kept saying, how do you want them trained? And they said, a work ethic, work skills, and drug-free. Good, that's what you get. And that's been our philosophy all along. Then we kept bringing the owners to the table and saying, tell us exactly the way you want them trained. And that's what we did. How do you want them trained? Because we wanted to provide opportunities for young men and women so they could go out the door with a job, not just a resume in their hand.
We're with Eleanor Jasaitis, CEO of Focus Hope. 8 years ago, May 26th, Father Cunningham went to eternity. An awful lot of people thought it's over because this dynamic, charismatic leader was Focus Hope. Here it is, stronger than ever, and you just took the reins and ran with it. How did you do that?
That's what he expected me to do. That's, we were good partners all those years, and Jack, I can tell you early on when Father was always the charismatic leader, and I was the organizer. And he came to me one day and said, Eleanor, I'm going to be the good cop. You're going to be the bad cop. Changed my personality completely because I had to take on a new role. But all the way through our years of working together, it was a team approach, and we would argue and debate back and forth with one another. And we always built on one another's creativity. And when Father was in the hospital and announced that he was ill, he made me promise two things. Eleanor, please do not put my name on a building. Make my work live on. And that's a commitment I've made with Father, and it was just a natural thing. I'm going to make your work live on. And I'm blessed with the number of colleagues that I have that believe in the same mission and purpose of the organization and are there to make a difference in the world. But we are making his work live on.
We're with Eleanor Jocytus, CEO of Focus Hope. And when we come back, Eleanor, we'll talk about how these last 38 years have changed your life. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Eleanor Jocytus, co-founder of Focus Hope. Eleanor, through these 38 years of helping people, how have you changed? How have those people helped you?
I'm a stronger person. I am more determined and passionate than I've ever been in my life. And I've certainly learned to be extremely persistent, but I also am a firm believer in partnerships. And Jack, I am so completely committed. And I know that there are so many people of goodwill that are waiting to be invited to do something. And I see that every day in my life, the number of people that want to get involved. And they want somebody to tell them what they can do and how they can get involved in it. And that just makes me stronger every day. Have I changed? Yes. Was I once a little just the organizer? Now I have to be the person that's out front? Yes. But it goes back to my dedication and commitment. And I know we're making a difference in so many lives. That's all I care about.
You have story after story of people who were on welfare, who were coming to the food center for food, who are now some of your key lieutenants.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, when I'm out and about and I can be at a fancy affair and somebody comes up and throws their arms around me and said, I got a job, I got married, I got a house, that changes everything. And I had one young woman who came to see me the other day who graduated from all of our programs, but she came to us at the beginning from a bitter divorce. Now she's an engineer who is managing a plant with 119 people in it and making all kinds of money, and comes back and talks to the young people alongside of us on a regular basis. And she said, Eleanor, I have paid more in taxes in the last 2 years than I ever got on welfare. Now, what greater blessing can you have than when you see somebody who is successful?
We're talking to Eleanor Jocytus, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Eleanor Jocytus, CEO of Focus Hope. Eleanor, you have no fear. One person once told me that your definition of retail is when it's not free. To you, the sale doesn't begin until you hear no. If somebody offers you a building, you tell them, well, before I accept the building, here's what I want you to do inside the building. Clean it up, do this and this and this. That that supreme courage, that audacity, where did you get that?
Well, I don't think it came in a cardboard box and nobody handed it to me. I think it's just been through the years when you had to grow and you had to learn more and more. I mean, I can remember coming home crying my eyes out when we would be fighting for something. And I remember my daughter one night, my little one was sitting on the couch with me. She had her arms over my shoulder and I'm crying like crazy. And she said, "Mother, if you can't do it, you ought not. If you can't take it, you ought not to do it." And I thought, okay, that makes sense. If I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do it. And, you know, I would be lying to you, Jack, if I told you there weren't moments that, you know, I would get in my car and drive to Belle Isle and say, "Okay, God, get in the front seat with me. I'm having a moment when I really need a little help here." But it's just because the passion, I want to make a difference in the world. And that's what drives me every single day, every single day. And I, every time that I'm discouraged, believe me, there'll be somebody who comes into my life that says, "You know, I'd like to help you with this. Is there something I can do?" You are a perfect example of that. When we had the tornado after Father Cunningham passed away, 3 weeks after Father Cunningham passed away, a tornado roared through our complex, $18 million worth of damage, 600 computers flying out the window. And you came, and that's when I first met you, and you said, "What can I help you with?" And I said, "I want to redo the boulevard, please." You were the one that helped me. You gave me not only the money to bury wires underground, but you came with your people 4 weeks in a row and planted trees and bushes and shrubs up and down the block. Now, you talk about anything possible. That's possible. And you did it because you wanted to make a difference in the world, too. And that's what I believe every single day of my life. There's so many people that want to help.
Everybody needs a dream. Everybody needs hope. You don't have hope, you can't live. If you don't have hope, how do you get it?
You've got to find somebody or something in your life that will give you a little bit of encouragement. Sometimes it's just a person that will encourage you a little bit to try something you've never tried before. Sometimes people will drive through the city and feel so hopeless because of the burned out abandoned buildings or whatever. But then I just say, look, go and find a little spot, a little oasis, and it'll change you completely. Maybe we can't change the whole city at one time, but if you drive down Oakland Boulevard, it's going to make you smile. And when you walk into those buildings, it's going to give you a sense of hope. It's going to give you a sense of expectations. It's going to say, my God, look what can happen when a few good people come together. That's what, to me, what hope is about. It's about honest expectations.
What dreams do you have?
I want to take the whole surrounding neighborhood where Focus Hope is located. I want to do economic development around that. I want to put in some infill housing. I want to make sure that all the abandoned, burned-out buildings are gone. I just want the whole neighborhood around us to be revitalized. We also own the Yellow Page building, and that's my goal, is to redo the Yellow Page building. Want to turn it into a conference center and apartment buildings, health and fitness center on the first floor, and just to have it for our neighborhood, for the students, and for anybody else that wants to come there. I want partnerships from different businesses to come in and join us, and I have a wonderful team that's working on that right now. So that's my vision. But the, you know, we've gotten 27 abandoned homes taken down so far. I just want to keep going. But I want jobs for people. I want education for people. I want opportunities for people. And I want my team to constantly say, where are we going? What do we need to do to go further into the future? What are the skills that are needed now? And I want us constantly to be thinking ahead of the curve. That's my goal.
The former president of General Motors, Lloyd Royce, not to single out any names because there's over 500 fabulous people, But for many, many years, that man has come and volunteered daily to help you. How did that happen, and what has he done for you?
Lloyd Royce is one of the many, many blessings. He came to us right after he retired from Focus Hope, and we had known him a little before that. He had helped us get some business when we first started the Machinist Training Institute.
He'd retired from General Motors.
What did I say he retired?
Focus Hope.
Oh, dear.
You'll never retire.
Oh,
you'll never let him retire from
Focus Hope. That's an absolute. But you know, that's interesting that I say that, because every time I thank Lloyd, he'll say, "You got it wrong, Al. I'm thanking you for the opportunity." He comes faithfully 2 days a week, shares all of his time and his talent and his years and years of experience. And I feel that we're joined at the hip. He's my soulmate. And it's because he believes in what we're doing, and he knows we're making a difference. And, you know, you're right. Lloyd is just a saint in my... But there are so many people of goodwill that have helped us through the years. Larry Mackle helped us with our park. When we had to take two buildings down after the tornado went through, everybody thought I was going to put a parking lot in there, and I said, no way, we are going to put a pocket park in there. It is beautiful. You drive by it now, and the flowers are all blooming. It's got a butterfly garden, a children's garden, a waterfall. It's got a statue of Father Cunningham's in there. It is spectacular, and it's right next door to our food center, so the seniors can come out, and they can sit in the gazebos, The little ones can come down from the child care center and pick flowers and just enjoy the neighborhood, but anything that revitalizes the neighborhood.
You've had to go in front of politicians, local, state, federal, time after time for grant money, etc. What have you learned through those experiences?
I'm going to go back that there are people of goodwill. Our elected officials want to know what we're doing. They want to know if we're doing it right. They want to see that we are people of integrity and we do what we say we're going to do. And we constantly invite our elected officials to come and see what we're about. And we are blessed because we have the support of the Michigan delegation, regardless if it's Republican or Democrat or independent. They care what we're doing because they know that we are determined to make a difference and that we will use their money with the greatest amount of integrity and return on the investment as possible. And they trust us for that.
We all put limitations on ourselves of what's possible. For some reason, your limitations are much, much, much wider and bigger than anybody else. How did you get that confidence? Where did that come from?
Probably through the years of meeting people that wanted to help and would encourage me to go forward. And I recognize that, again, there are people of goodwill who are waiting to be asked. And the more I would ask them, the more they would say, I'll help you. And it would just build my confidence. But I'm going to tell you again, I am a strong woman of faith. And my faith has played a major role. And my family, who have supported me, and my friends who love me, keep me going every day.
One of the many things that people are amazed about when they come is to see the child care center. When we come back, we'll talk to Eleanor about why a child care center. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Eleanor Jositis, CEO and founder of Focus Hope. Eleanor, part of your material that you pass out says, our mission today is as critical as ever. One thing we've learned is that education and training are the keys to ending racism and poverty. When people have good jobs, they have opportunities.
Couldn't be better. That's exactly what it's all about. People need opportunities in their life, and education and training is the key to Focus Hope's philosophy, and it is our passion. I am a firm believer that to end racism, it means that people have to have jobs and the same thing that we all want in our life. We want opportunities in our life. We want to be loved, understood, and appreciated. We need to have skills. We need to have the training that's going to take us into the future and allow us to buy homes and buy cars and get married and have families. And that's what Focus Hope is all about. We need to train and educate men and women. And I would encourage anyone who's listening to this show, if they don't believe it, come down to Focus Hope and take a look around and see the training programs for themselves. It'll blow your mind.
Why did you create a child care center?
Because so many of the young people that were going through our training programs had little children. Well, what do you do with them? Well, we created the child care centers so that the men and women that were going through our training programs wouldn't have to worry about their little people. It's right on the campus there. They can bring them at 6 o'clock in the morning when the engineering program opens up, and they can keep them there until the latchkey program to their children go home in the evening. And they feel so comfortable because everything is right there on campus. If they want to go down and have lunch with the little ones, they can do that in the afternoon. It takes away the anxiety of what are you going to do with your little ones, and just makes you concentrate on learning the skills that you need.
Your food center. Most food centers, you go in and they hand you a box of food and you leave. Yours is very different. Why?
Because we want to take care of the dignity of the people that are coming in there. So everybody pushes the shopping cart. They take the items off the shelves themselves. They go through a barcoding system. And we want the little ones that come in there to think that maybe mom and dad paid $50 to join a warehouse club and they're going shopping rather than just handing somebody a box. It to us just adds to dignity. And dignity and respect is something that's extremely important to all of us. That's our mission statement. Our mission statement started with recognizing the dignity of every person, that we would pledge intelligent and practical action to overcome racism, poverty, and injustice. That's what we've been doing all these years, Jack, and we are right on the mark.
There's computers, there's PCs in that food center. Why do you have PCs in the center?
Because a lot of the parents or the seniors that come in there, their children live outside of the state, and many of them are overseas. Some of them are in the military. Well, they can sit down at the computers and email their loved ones, and we have volunteers that come in there and show them how to use the computers. And the little ones that come in there with their parents can also use the computers and see how to learn to do something that's different. Any opportunity that we can provide, that's what we're going after.
You know, as I sit here watching you, I've often thought that someday they will make a movie about this priest and this housewife, mother of five. And I think, as I sit here, Meryl Streep would be terrific to play the role of Eleanor Josiatis. What do you think?
Thank you, dear, but I've got more to do right now than think about a movie, all right? Thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment.
Just joking. You wrote your philosophy once, and part of it goes like this. I'm a firm believer that every person, no matter what their status in life, want the same thing, to be loved, understood, and appreciated. It makes no difference what our skin color, religious beliefs, or national origin, we want to be loved. To make the world a better place, we all have to understand our brothers and sisters and appreciate our differences and celebrate our sameness.
It's exactly what it's all about. I believe that with everything in me, that people want to be loved and appreciated. And we're not going to know one another if we don't talk to one another, if we don't exchange with one another, if we don't understand what somebody else's problems are, if we don't volunteer our time, we're not going to know what another person's like. So how are we going to change the world if we don't get involved? It's easy to sit on the couch with the television in your hand and the little clicker and keep moving. But you got to see the reality of what's going on in the world, and you got to get up off the couch and do something.
Are you hopeful about the future?
I'm very hopeful about the future. I refuse to be intimidated. Even when society is having a hard time, yes, there are difficult times, but I refuse to be intimidated by it. It just makes me want to work harder, and I think that there, people of goodwill are going to come together and make a difference in this world.
Time after time, a person drives up to Oakwood Boulevard, gets out thinking that they're going to help for the day. And at the end of that day, they get in that car with a little more hope in their heart, and regularly they say to themselves, wow, I got so much more out of this than I gave. Why is that?
Because they are doing something good. I had that very thing happen the other day with a young woman that came to see us, and we drove her around, took her to the food centers, and when she left, she just said, you've changed my life. You've changed my life. I'm going to get my grandkids down here to volunteer. I want to make a difference. And I think, Jack, it goes back to the passion that people see when they come to Focus Hope. They see the passion of the colleagues who invite them. You can walk into any of buildings and the colleagues will greet you and say, come on in, what can I show you? And you know, people think so many times they're going to come to a back alley garage somewhere or a church basement with one box of food. It'll blow them out of their mind when they come and see it. It is so state of the art, so clean, so people of courage and education that want to see that everybody has an education, wants to see that everybody has an opportunity. And don't get me started, because I got 7,000 stories tucked in my heart of people that have been successful. And I could just go on and on about the lives that have been changed.
I grew up on the south side of Chicago. My dad was a mailman. My mom raised a bunch of us. And they used to have a saying, we're too poor to buy cheap. We didn't buy often. But when we bought a piece of clothes, a piece of furniture, we bought quality. Well, everything you agree to do, your expectations are world class. Why?
Because I want to make a difference. And the way to make a difference is to be world class, to have high expectations. Why do I want to lower the standards? Why do I want to think, oh, Lord, this is too difficult, we can't make it? I want to go exactly the opposite. I want to say, of course we can do it. Let's do it together.
Some people say that the greatest urge of a human being is to feel genuinely appreciated. What do you say about that?
I'm grateful. And I'm just grateful. That's all I can say, Jack. I'm grateful for the people that want to make a difference with us. I'm grateful for my colleagues. And I'm grateful that I can serve. And I thank God every day in my life that I can serve.
We've been with Eleanor Josaitis. And you talk about servant leadership. This is a servant leader. Her people, the people in the community, love her, respect her, fear her, run away when she comes. But Eleanor, what you've done for this community has been fabulous. So from thousands, I want to say thank you. It's been an honor to have you. It's been an honor for you to share your amazing, inspiring story. And our guest next week will be another fabulous person, the resident conductor of the DSO, the maestro Thomas Wilkins. Until then, thanks for listening. Anything is possible, and make it a great week. Spoke.